Well, I'm Reverend John Mann. I minister with Grace Community International. I'm here with two team members. One, Mike Daly, who has his Master's of Engineering and is an executive in an engineering company in Albuquerque, New Mexico, a large international engineering concern, a former member of the Board of Directors, and current member of the Board of Directors, Richard Smith, graduate of Oklahoma State University in engineering, and has just retired as an executive with Oklahoma Gas and Electric, and still maintains a part-time job with Honeywell. I wanted to say Sewell, but Honeywell, also keeping his finger in engineering, as well as traveling and ministering with Grace Community. So having said that, let's stand. Let's ask God to bless the teaching of His holy word, shall we? Let's stand together. Oh Lord God, this is your holy word. We are your servants. Give us understanding that we might know your testimonies. You have prayed, O Lord, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Use your holy, eternal, inerrant, written word to set us apart this evening for your service and for your glory. Show us great and mighty things which we do not know. The sower sows the word. Let not your word go out and return void, but accomplish that purpose for which you have drawn us together, and accomplish that purpose for which you are now sending your written word out. Protect us from Satan, O Lord, who will snatch your word, making it fruitless. Protect us from a wrong reaction to difficulties and discouragements and persecutions which make our hearts hard and unresponsive to your word. Protect us from the world's cares and the delight of wealth and the passion for other interests which enter in and choke your word, making it fruitless. Rather, plow up now the hard ground of our hearts, O Lord. Give us good soil that your sown written word might send roots downward and then bear fruit upwards. Unsheathe now the sword of your spirit, O Lord. Cut to the dividing point of bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Judge now the thoughts and the intention of each heart which you have gathered together. Spread your word to us as a banquet table, O Lord. Grant grace that we might drink of the sweet milk and eat of the rich meat of the great doctrines of your holy word. Give us the heart of the prophet who cried to you, "Thy words were found and I did eat them, and thy words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." O Lord, we live in a dark and a wicked age. Broad is the way, and many families are on it, which leads to destruction. Make your word a lamp to our feet. Make your word a light to our path. Show us that narrow way that you would have us lead our families. And Lord, as we run in the paths of your commandments, enlarge our hearts, that in loving you, we might be more obedient to your holy word. Drop your word against our lives this evening as a plumb line, O Lord. Grant grace that we might see how we deviate from its high and holy purposes. Make your word to us a mirror, O Lord. Grant grace that we might not be as those who look and go away and promptly forget, but make us active doers, not forgetful listeners of your holy word. O Lord, because of our fealty to you, because of our undying love and devotion to your Son, our resurrected Savior, we pledge to you this evening our total submission to your holy, eternal, inerrant written word. And we pledge to you our unquestioning obedience to all of its commands. In the name of our Lord and our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, it's lovable. I'm sorry, my mother always told us if we did not have enough to share with everybody, then we should never eat in public. But I am working the night shift today. It is 9 hours difference between Lagos and Houston. I've been working through the night, and my dear friend Avika has given me some of this great Nigerian coffee. said, what does your husband think about this? I said, well, my husband thinks it's crazy. I have headaches all the time. I can't read my Bible. I get lost. This was before GPS. I can't read the map. But they told me that if I put my glasses on, I will lose my healing. So I usually will not minister to women except in the presence of my wife. So my wife was there. And so I said, excuse me, can I share with you a few things? I have a word from God for you. Oh, yes! I'm praying. I thought you were a man of God. I was hoping that someone would give me a word from God. So we went to Matthew, and we looked where Christ said, if you ask Jesus for bread, will he give you a snake? So I said, is this the God we serve that will give you headaches and you cannot wear your glasses out of fear that he won't heal you? I said, no, that's not the God we serve. You have not been healed. Benny Hinn did not heal you. And then we looked. I said, I have another word from God. At 2 Corinthians 12, Paul prayed three times for the removal of the thorn of the flesh, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. You have prayed and prayed over this. You still need glasses. This is your thorn in the flesh. God's grace is sufficient. You need to get on with your life. And I said, and I bet this has caused friction in your family. And she said, yes. Well, let me show you a verse. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church. And Benny Hinn is not your pastor. He is not your father. He is not your husband. The word from God is to go home, live under the subjection of your husband, put your glasses back on, and read the Bible. So she said she would do it. I don't know if she did or not. But that was the word of God I had. So we don't have to live a nonsensical Christian life, do we? I'm healed, but I can't see. That's nonsensical, isn't it? It is not God's will for us all. Verse 6 and 7. So, I would like to ask one of the gentlemen to volunteer to kind of be the Bible reader while I'm here. Okay? So you have to have a good, strong voice. But is there one of the gentlemen who likes to read? And you will be. Okay, from now on, when I call a verse out,
you're going to read it. A laborer is worthy of his hire. So, I am going to give you this nice keychain with a light on it, so you can find the lock on your door, or you can find your pin when it rolls under the bed.
You know, I live in Houston. We have lots of bugs in Houston. Do you have bugs here in Nigeria?
Yes.
So, I never reach under my bed without looking with a light first. So you are trying to find something, and instead something finds you. So. Galatians 6, 6 and 7. No, Galatians 6, 7 and 8. You have to.
Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also reaps. For he who sows his flesh, not the flesh reaps corruption. But he who sows the Spirit, not the Spirit reaps everlasting life.
You will always.
over spinach.
Will he ever get corn? Will he? What if he prays all night in prayer? Will he get corn? Will he?
No.
He spends all night in prayer. Will corn come from those spinach seeds? No. What if he gets the bishop to come and lay hands on his spinach seed? Will they now come up corn? No. What if he gives the tithe and the double tithe and then the triple miracle tithe? Will he get corn from that spinach? He will not, because he is planting spinach, and that is what he will always reap. Children with superstitious things. Why? Who is investing in their life? The house elf, not the mother. And I sat down with them and spoke very strongly about them. The wife quit her job. They moved into a smaller house, sold one of their cars, unloaded a lot of their toys, and 2 years later, they had very well-spoken, well-mannered, articulate children growing in the grace of God. Why? Because now their children were spending time with their mother and father. They were sowing into their lives. children in the same way. You neglect each other in the same way. What makes you a Christian family? What is different about the way your children are behaving and about the way you behave towards your children? What is the difference? Well, John, gold and silver and bronze. raptured, one redeemed, one back again, brought to repentance by relative strangers. I would be humiliated if I thought the church was primarily responsible for my children. My children grew up in the church. They were always involved in the church. It was never an option. But I came home at night and built my children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord and modeled what it meant to be a Christian. I didn't want to have my testimony to be, my children fell away from the Lord because of my neglect, and thank God some other man, when they give their testimony, they talk about some other man. When my children give their testimony, they talk first about their mother and I, not some other man. Is that important to you, men? It should be. So what are you going to do different? Don't do the same old thing. Do something different. The power of prayer. Them versus you. Let's look at 1 John 5:14, shall we?
1 John 5:14. Now this is the confidence that we are in him, that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us.
Okay, now, does this verse say that whatever we ask of Jesus, we will get? Does it say that? What does it have to be? It has to be His will. I praise God, He does not answer whatever we ask according to faith. Can you imagine the chaos in the city of Nigeria if every Christian on a whim got whatever they asked for? Can you imagine the chaos of weather? Some guy has a crisis of faith and he says, Jesus, I just pray this mountain would be moved. Think of the tens of thousands of people who would perish when that happened. I just pray for rain and people drown. Oh, I've never seen snow. Let it snow. And starvation and famine strike this nation because the crops fail. Can you imagine that? What prayers does Jesus answer according to this verse? According to what? Faith is not the ability for God to get God up off his throne, running around Nigeria, doing your will. By faith in Christ, in an obedience to his holy word, we get up off our pew or our seat, we ask God from his word what his will is, and then we do it. Do you want, now though, having said that, I am going to give you the secret prayer. If you will include this phrase in your prayer, God will always say yes. No matter what the lottery ticket, Mercedes Benz, whatever you want. Would you like to know that secret phrase? Okay. Luke 22:42. Brother, would you read it?
And see, Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me.
If it is what?
Your will.
Keep reading.
Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.
If in every request you give to God, you say, but not my will, your will, God will always say, okay, I'm going to do it. My will. And if you are giving your hard-earned money, which should go to buying your children's shoes, their school uniforms, your wife or new dress, saving up for something for her special to him. And you are taking that and you are giving that to Brother Hezekiah's glorious miracle crusade and hoping to buy God into doing something that is not his will. You're wasting your time and you're in sin. There is not a single instance in Holy Scripture where people try to buy a miracle or those who are miracle workers received money for a miracle that were not judged severely by God. It's about Jesus and obeying him, not about magic or taking a chance on God.
Such that my husband would want
should be like. And when you pray for your church, you pray for your life. You don't rattle out your pastor's faults. You pray you would be a better servant in the church. And men, when you pray for your marriages, you pray Ephesians 5:25, that you would love your wife as Christ loved the church. And Ephesians 5:28, that you would be a good provider for her. And Ephesians 5:33, that you would take care of her emotional needs. And Ephesians 6:4, that you would be your children's spiritual leader and the one who disciplines them. You pray for yourself. And God will say,
a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his father.
No, you ask, and then if mommy says yes, you drink out of a glass. Well, I see daddy come home from work, and sometimes he walks right in, he opens the refrigerator, and drinks it. And mommy says, that's because he is the daddy. If you study hard at school, if you get a job, if you can afford a place to live, and can buy a refrigerator, and can put juice in it, then you can drink the juice any way you want. But you are not daddy. Okay, mommy. It's time to go to church in the morning. Can I drive the car? No. Daddy gets to drive the car. That's right. And if you work hard at school, if you get a good job, if you get a place to live and can afford to buy a car and put gas in it, just like daddy, doesn't he? He wants to be able to stay up and watch the World Cup, just like daddy, doesn't he? And just come in and take the juice bottle out of the fridge and drink it, just like daddy. And drive a car, just like daddy. And quit memorizing scripture like daddy. I have to go to this Awana's program. I have to go to this Sunday school program. And I have to memorize scripture. I never see daddy memorizing scripture. I don't come home from school and see dad come home from work and sit in his favorite chair and work on his Bible verses. When daddy is driving us to church, he never hands us his verses. He always checks us. When you get big and you grow up, you stop memorizing scripture. Right? And I won't have to do my Bible reading anymore, just like daddy. Sunday school to get a little star on the board, or for vacation Bible school to get to sitting up late with his Bible and his cocoa or tea and the lamp on and the paper out doing his Sunday school lesson for Sunday morning. And I want to grow up and be just like Daddy and drive a car and watch TV late and drink juice and not memorize Bible verses and not read the Bible and not do Bible study just like Daddy. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why when I was in the college ministry, the most difficult children to get to be serious about the Word and prayer were those from conservative Christian families, because they knew all of these things were childish. Don't do that. Every disciple, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. Every child, when he's fully trained, will be like his dad. My children went to church reviewing me on my verses. It's important that they memorize the Bible, but it was more important that I do it and they see me do it and I do it with them. My children grew up not seeing me sit in front of the computer, not seeing me sit in front of the TV game, or not seeing me at all. They grew up seeing me sit in my favorite chair with the light on, doing my daily Bible reading. And they would have a question and come interrupt me, and then I would put a little marker here so I'd know where I left off, and I'd answer their question. Then I would go back to it. And my children grew up seeing me do Bible study and teach the Bible in the church. And they all grew up wanting to be just like Daddy. When your sons and daughters think about being like Daddy when it comes to scripture memory, Bible reading, Bible study, and leadership in the church, what are they going to do? Don't send the college ministers of the University of Nigeria in America children who think you grow up and don't do those things. Send them children who grow up thinking that's what men do. Men of God. Strong men. That's what men do. Okay? Be a man. Last and closing, Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I was talking with a lady who ran a large guest house and conference center outside Lusaka, Zambia, where we were having our conference. A multi-church conference on marriage and family. And she was talking to me one afternoon with Ellen and I, asking about our children. And she said, you know, I just don't understand why my children are so selfish. They never come home. Even when I was in the hospital when I was sick, only one of them came to see me. Sometimes one will come home for Christmas, sometimes the other. I will get a text or an email every once in a while, but we work all of our lives to make them successful. And then she shared how they were doctors and lawyers and professors, and this is how they repay us. So I said, wow, they're highly educated. She says, oh yes. I sent them to advanced preschool when they were just old enough to walk. And then I sent them to a boarding school on the edge of Lusaka so they could get in the best college. And then I sent one to South Africa and one to the U.S. and one to England for the university. They defined what love was. When they were sick, where was their mother? At her job. Who took care of them? the summer for a few days and sent them away. But even when their children were home, they were gone at their careers all the time. It was house help or grandma who took care of them. They defined what love was, weren't they? And when they were away at the university and they got sick, was mommy fixing them soup and wiping their brow? No. So these children are not unloving. They are simply loving their mommy the way their mommy loved them. They don't know any difference. Does that make sense? And I told her that. They send their mommy nice presents. They send her money. They send her cards, and when it's convenient, they see her. But even when she's sick, they don't see her, but she didn't do that for them. When they got an earache, and they were at that high school boarding school in South Africa, she didn't leave her job and go help them. Some matron did, some nurse. And now they love her the same way. They'll put her nursing home, but that's not unloving because she put them in.